26, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 26, looking at verses 1 through 13, with part 2 of last week's message titled, Extravagant Grace, Cheap Response.
Two types of hearts. She valued her, the Savior. She fell before him to anoint his body for burial because she saw she needed him as a sinner to be saved by the grace of God from her sins. And the other didn't care. Didn't care. He could take it or all leave it. He could walk out of here with no thought of it and could sell him for the price of a slave just to get a little coin.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
And then you have a heart that betrays him. And that's purposeful by Matthew. In verses 3 through 9, or actually, yeah, 3 through 9, you'll notice here, we have this record all the way down through 13, this record of this woman known as Mary of Bethany. We read that Jesus is in Bethany at this home, we know, in verse 6. Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. A woman comes to him, verse 7, with an alabaster flask, a very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. She takes this very expensive jar of ointment, and the text wants to capture for us the great value of this ointment. How valuable this ointment is. And what it wants to show us, what Matthew wants to show is this is sheer extravagance. Sheer extravagance. Many have observed in their day, what Mary poured on Jesus here is worth thousands, in their day, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. This was a little peasant woman. This is a woman who doesn't have anything. She didn't have much. We've looked at the challenges for people who have much to not think they need anything. Rich young ruler. Her most valuable possession in life was this. Think about that. What is your most valuable possession? Material possession in life. What is it? Well, you could have all of you have something handed down to you, maybe. This is great value. She's not rich. She has nothing. Just this. She comes with everything that you would say with heart. Luther called it heart water. Jesus is in the room. He's reading the room. He's a good reader of the room, good reader of hearts. He knows every heart in the room. He knows what people are thinking. If somebody poor walked in and we all knew had a family heirloom, let's just say we all knew about this family heirloom. This thing is like the diamond that fell off the Titanic, right? Worth $10 million. And they come into worship and with such devotion and tears and for the Lord, they give this thing to be used for the kingdom. Or they pour it out if it's perfume. What would you think of a poor woman doing that? What would trouble us about it? Well, showy, right? It's kind of showy. She comes up here and does it. It seems inappropriate. What would bother us about it? There'd be some kind of irritation in this act. Because the question that would come out in all of us is that really responsible to pour that out? Oh, it'd make me uncomfortable. It's the kind of devotion that shames everybody. What do we read here? But of his own missing it. You'll notice, and when the disciples saw it, verse 8, they were indignant. They are furious. The word means that. They are angry. Why this waste? Ponder that. That word waste is powerful in this context. Why are you wasting that? Here's the line. That perfume could have been sold at a very high price and given to the poor. What is the heart of that charge? What is in it? Irritation. Oh, but why? Why? You know why? Because I would never want to give up something that valuable. Right? It would hurt too much, especially if I'm poor. That's the one thing I have. Shouldn't that, if you're going to do that kind of thing, shouldn't it go to something where it really has consequence and is useful, you see? Now, I think you know the poor is not the concern here, right? You know, people. It's like the man, they were doing a building project. I knew the story. And they all wanted to come together and talk about building a building. It wasn't here. But the man stood up and said, we're going to spend all this money. That money should go to the poor. What do you say to that? Kind of hard to answer that, isn't it? What's really behind it is people don't want to face that kind of sacrifice because that kind of giving will cost them. It's an easy out. We could do so much better with the money. You never hear that until give it to the poor, until people are pressed with giving that will cost them something. You see? Her giving cost her something. That wasn't easy giving. That wasn't the easy 10%. This was everything. Right? Everything. Why this waste? The sad aspect to it is that it showed no value of the very body of Jesus that was being laid down. Is he worthy of such treatment? Was it a waste to pour this on Jesus? Well, who do you think he is? Who is he? We know from John, the one leading the charge on this was Judas. Notice the emphasis in verse 14. Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, one of his own disciples, one who had been walking with him the whole time, throughout his whole life, he goes to the chief priest and he says, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? Now you can see the contrast that Matthew's drawing. This is all about value, isn't it? This is a value judgment. This is a value of the life of Jesus here. And our text highlights the terrible betrayal of Judas, one who walked with Jesus right up until the end and then betrayed him. So here's the proposition of Judas. What do you want for him? Oh, there it is. See the contrast? What do you think his life's worth? Well, the woman had just poured everything on him in contrast. We have Judas now betraying him with how much? 30 pieces of silver. Now, if you know the Old Testament, that's the price of a slave. So he's fulfilling Scripture in his view, in a sense. That's around $25. He is being as cheap as possible. Cheap. What can I give that is the least cost to myself to get rid of Jesus? What can I receive? Think about that. It's selfish. It's weird. It's backward. Give me a deal. And the deal only is $25. He wants the most he can get out of it, but all he gets out of it with the whole chief leaders and priests is $25. That's the least the leaders will pay to get rid of him. And for Judas, it's worth it. It's remarkable how much attention Jesus gives to lavish giving in the Bible and the consequence of being cheap in his kingdom, saving the buck. What made Judas snap? That's my question. I've marveled by this text. I'm taken by this text. What caused Judas to snap? Why at this moment? What caused him to go over the top and at this moment go running to the chief priest to find out the money for betrayal? You ever thought about it? And you know what it is? It's this woman's faith. Judas sees this, and remember, he holds the money purse, so he's been skimming off the top of the money purse the whole time. Jesus knows this, by the way. Jesus knows he's a thief. Think about that. He's the treasurer. He sees this, and he leads the charge in the claim of waste. What made him snap? Well, it's what Jesus said. Why do you trouble the woman? She's done a good deed for me. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. And we're talking about now the greatest redemptive act of history. We're talking about everything the history is all about. We're talking about everything the gospel is about, all of Scripture coming together right here. He says, for when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. What's that worth? That gift. That made Judas snap. We're pouring out everything of value for him to die? That's not what I signed up for. I mean, Judas has been riding on the coattails of what he thinks is the great rising star in Israel who's going to conquer the Romans. Death isn't in this vision. And now everything of value of people's being poured out on Jesus. Are you kidding me? I want nothing to do with that. That is not what I signed up for. He didn't see. And he becomes the betrayer and the agent of delivering him over to his own death. Matthew highlights this value that Judas received of Christ, 30 pieces of silver, Exodus 21:32. That's Judas's value of Christ. That's what he'll take for the Christ, for him. He's getting money. But God, right in front of his disciples, was demonstrating something so beautiful and something so important. Why this waste? It was the common custom of the day that after somebody died, the body would be anointed with oil for burial. A criminal didn't get this right. So if you died as a criminal and you were hung, you did not get this right afterward. After the execution, the body was not anointed. They didn't get the privilege. So the text emphasizes she knows what's about to happen. She has so much faith. She knows what's about to happen. She goes before the burial, before the death, and anoints him. And Jesus says that in verse 12, plainly pouring out this fragrant oil on him, she did it for his burial. Now here's my question today. What does this act capture for us? Is it just to say, I want you guys all to bring your most valuable possessions and put it in the pot? You think that's my message today? Well, that's a good Benny Hinn kind of message. In my years of studying this passage, I thought it was often just about Mary's response. But I think I've missed something crucial. Why is Mary's response so remarkable? Well, it is indeed because she gave everything of value in this life away. Sure, indeed, that was painful for her. It was costly for her. It was offensive to everyone. It was lavish. It was extravagant. It was extreme. And no one understood it. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. A lavish gift, extreme. No one understands this. What are we looking at? We are looking at, in Mary's action, the giving of Jesus himself to us. Extravagant. Lavish. Misunderstood. Offensive. He is pouring out his life, his blood, for you. Is there a price on that? Is there a price on that? He who did not spare his own son. If you've lost a son or a daughter, you know the pain of this. He who did not spare his own son, but out of love for you, gave him up for us all. How will he not freely give us everything? That blood was worth a lot. And it results in the giving us of everything. Is there any value? Can you put a monetary value on the death of Christ for you? Judas did. $25. Jesus says, I want her studied. Oh, she's amazing. I want her studied. She's a memorial from now on. Every time the gospel's preached, I want you to think about this lavish gift. Misunderstood, extravagant, offensive. Meditate on it. Her act has so much meaning because it speaks to the very gospel we believe. And that makes the story remarkable. Mary didn't miss who and what was being given to her. Incredible sacrifice. God was not cheap for you. God didn't save a buck. She believed that. She was pouring out her heart in gratitude. Heidelberg says that's what the Christian life is. For her Savior, and full trust in him, she treasured Jesus so much so as to anoint him with everything she had. That kind of response, beloved, divides the waters right now. Between those who don't understand the gospel and those who believe it. This woman had joy because she believed this temple would be raised for her, the true temple. And she was the one who, when Martha was around talking about serving everyone, Mary sat at his feet and listened to his word, and it wasn't taken from her. So you want to know what true belief looks like? Here's the memorial. It's a belief that understands the extravagant gift that's been given to us. 2,000 years ago, God sent forth his Son into this world to redeem you from your sins, to die in your place. At the end of the Olivet Discourse, he just said something that probably troubled some of you. On the last day, people are going to be cast into hell. Why do you think he came? To deliver people from that. To suffer the torments of hell for you. To be beaten and clubbed in your place. To sit under the judgment seat and take your sins upon himself in what we call a propitiatory atonement, substitutionary atonement. And the question for us is, do you trust the promises of God? Do you see who's been given to you? Do you see the value of it? Do you understand this? Jesus wants this woman remembered today because she presents the gospel in simple form. She understood she was a great sinner and needed a great Savior. Do we make the gospel too complex? I hope not. She treasured Christ. Two types of hearts. She valued her. The Savior, she fell before him to anoint his body for burial because she saw she needed him as a sinner to be saved by the grace of God from her sins. And this was the greatest gift of God to this world. And the other one didn't care. Didn't care. He could take it or all leave it. He could walk out of here with no thought of it and could sell him for the price of a slave just to get a little coin. Makes sense. Oh, it makes sense. It makes sense that Jesus would say, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the indescribable gift of your Son for us. You are so wonderful. May we not be those who respond in some kind of cheap way without understanding the extravagance of what was given. And may our hearts be overflowing with gratitude for such a gift. May we see the value of who was given to us and what was offered for us. And that as we remember this woman, extravagant, confusing, this act, offensive, would we see all of it, the gift of your Son for us, and that we would understand it and receive it with joy. We bless the name of the Lord today for so great a gospel. May we treasure, O Lord, in response, the gift that's been given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for tuning in to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Until then, God bless.